Well, welcome back to Your Calls Media Roundtable. I'm Ethan Elkind, sitting in for Rose Aguilar. And now we're going to switch gears and discuss the growing efforts to impose wealth taxes on the super rich across the country. According to a recent investigation by the Center for Public Integrity, in the past 2 years, at least 19 states have lowered their income taxes in ways that primarily benefit their most well-off residents. And conservative groups have spent millions to defeat tax increases on the wealthy. But interest in raising taxes on the wealthy is growing. Lawmakers in 7 states, including California, Connecticut, New York, and Washington, are introducing a wealth tax. Now, how would such a tax mitigate rising wealth inequality? What are some of the other consequences that might flow from such an approach? Joining us to discuss is Melissa Hellman, an award-winning reporter who covers racial, gender, and economic inequality for the Center for Public Integrity, a nonprofit newsroom. Thanks so much for joining us, Melissa.
Hi, thanks for having me. I'm also here with my colleague, Maya, who also worked on the report with me.
Absolutely. You just scooped me. I was just about to introduce. Also, very pleased to be joined by Maya Srikrishnan, who is also an investigative journalist at the Center for Public Integrity, covering marginalized communities. Good to have you with us, Maya.
Thanks for having us.
And I also want to let listeners know that we'd love to open the phone lines and hear from you as well. If you have thoughts about what you would like to see states do when it comes to tax policy on the wealthy, you can join the conversation. The phone lines are open now at 866-798-TALK. That's 866-798-8255. You can also send us an email to yourcall@kalw.org. So first of all, I want to thank you both, Maya and Melissa, for this important investigation. And when we talk about the tax system, we often think of the federal tax system. And in recent years, ProPublica has meticulously reported about how numerous tax loopholes have benefited the wealthy and corporations, large corporations. But we pay very little attention to state taxes and how the lack of tax revenue at that level can impact education, public services, housing. And so before we dive in and talk about the investigation, I wanted to ask you both what compelled you to focus on state taxes. And Melissa, let me start with you with that question.
Sure. So this was actually a project that was proposed by Maya when she came in about a year and a half ago to the Center for Public Integrity. So we have we're covering economic inequality, and we were looking for some ways to focus on the state level. And from some phone calls, I'll let Maya pick up after me, but she found that state taxes kept coming up as a point of inequality that wasn't really covered very often. So we decided to launch this this project that we're still doing. There's going to be some stories coming out in the future as well, where we've been looking at different aspects of state taxes and how it disproportionately impacts low income and people of color.
And Maya, since we just heard from Melissa that this was your idea, do you, anything you want to add about the inspiration to cover this topic?
Yeah, so, you know, we were calling around, and there's been a lot of investigations into the IRS and into how federal taxes are not particularly equal, and about how wealthy people are constantly figuring out ways to circumvent their taxes at the national level. And when I was talking to experts, one of the things that they kept saying was that no one's really paying attention to what's happening at the state level. And at the state level, it is often even more crucial when you're looking at the lower income households, what is happening when it comes to taxes. You know, there's many states that charge income tax to households that don't have to pay federal taxes, and things like that kept coming up. So we decided to launch this series, and it just turned out it happened at a time when lots of states were starting to cut their income taxes because of pandemic federal funds and other things. And that led to this investigation.
Well, let's talk about the investigation and some of the high level points. And Maya, just staying with you, what are some of the key findings from your investigation that you'd want to share with listeners?
Yeah, so we published 2 investigations. The first one was looking at a wave of states that were passing income tax cuts that predominantly benefited the top tax bracket, so the wealthiest in the states. And, you know, our major findings from that were that, one, that these policies are really hurting poor people regardless, because they will often result in cuts to essential state services like education and street funding and things that lower income households tend to be more reliant on. And then the second finding is that, you know, these conservative groups that we have heard about a lot at the national level and in campaigns in terms of dark money, groups funded by the Koch brothers and the American Legislative Exchange Council, that they were involved in a lot of these. You know, they were pushing for these policies at in every way. And then our second investigation was looking at the states that were actually pushing opposite policies to try and increase taxes in the wealthy and why so many of them were having difficulties. And I'll let Melissa talk a little bit more about the findings in that investigation.
Yeah, Melissa, please. Go ahead.
Sure. So this is also inspired by me living and reporting in Seattle for about 6 years. So while I was there, I had continuously heard that Washington State had it disproportionately impacted low-income people, the state tax policy, more than any other state in the country. It was something that I had reported on a little while I was reporting for Seattle publications, and I really got a chance to delve into that here. So last summer, I went out to Washington State. I went to Timber Country, and I talked with some people who work for Firelands Washington, which is an organization that advocates for working class people, primarily in the timber industry, and who work day jobs in the Timber Country, who are mostly low income. A lot of them are immigrants. They speak English as a second language, and they were concerned about the state tax policy and how that how they were seeing disinvestment in their community. So they took me around to Aberdeen, which is in Timber Country. It's the home of the former home of the band Nirvana. Mm-hmm. They showed me some of the ways that disinvestment has impacted their communities, such as things like bridges failing, just infrastructure not being kept up, ways that weatherization had impacted their homes. And they felt like if there were a fairer tax system, that it would help them live more equitable lives. I talked with one woman, Patty Flores, who was the main character in the second story that we published, which is mostly about it's trying to raise taxes on the wealthy. And she told me about how she was really moved to try to advocate for this capital gains tax that Washington was pushing for back in 2021. And so this would raise taxes for the wealthy, specifically on any stocks and bonds that they had over about $200,000. So she was a great advocate for this, and as was her organization. And so from my findings after talking with her, I found that there were 8 states in total this year that have proposed efforts to tax the wealthy. And then I believe it was Minnesota this year that also they proposed a study to try to study the effect of this capital gains tax or raising taxes for the wealthy. And what we found is that it is extremely difficult to try to raise taxes, that these same organizations that are pushing to lower taxes are also the ones who are trying to thwart any efforts to raise them. And so they've been working for decades, and they really have had a head start on the more leftist organizations that are currently pushing for this. So State Innovation Exchange and the State Revenue Alliance are two organizations that have been trying to gather up these states that want to have more equitable tax systems, and that they're really up against time and money that the right has been investing for decades.
We've certainly seen that at the federal level. And even in progressive California, the wealth tax is a controversial idea. A number of tax the wealthy proposals have been introduced in the legislature or in state or local ballot measures, but they've failed. Governor Newsom has said he's going to veto some of these approaches. Maya, maybe directing this one to you, what do you make of the counter arguments to these wealth taxes that this is, because we've heard this in California, this is going to lead to wealthy people migrating out of the state. And of course, in California, we actually have a very progressive tax code. So we tend to live or die revenue wise by how wealthy people are doing economically. But what do you make of that argument?
Yeah, I mean, what we have heard from experts who have studied the impact of tax policy is that, you know, this oftentimes opponents of these wealth taxes will say that this will result in people being driven out of the country and businesses or driven out of the state, businesses driven out of the state, and that will, you know, result in investment being sucked from these states. And I think that we have seen in states that already have very progressive tax systems like California and New York, that people do not leave just because of high taxes, and that there are all sorts of reasons why people choose to live in certain states, to work in certain states, to start businesses in certain states, to headquarter their businesses in certain states. And tax policy is one factor of many, and tax policy cannot make up for a lack of infrastructure, a lack of workforce, and things like that. So I think that, you know, a lot of those arguments we found kind of laid flat. Massachusetts, for example, did pass one of these wealth taxes, and the opponents were threatening that, you know, businesses would leave. And then, you know, the Lego Group ended up announcing its plans to relocate its America's office to Massachusetts shortly after that. And that kind of goes against some of those arguments that, you know, raising taxes on the wealthiest people in the state is going to result in them leaving.
Let's take a caller now. We have Lawrence phoning in from Berkeley. Lawrence, welcome to your call.
Yeah, hi. I would like to present some survey data about the American public. Two pieces of data. First of all, people don't know how unequal our economy is. When asked, they either say, I don't know, or they give a level of inequality that's approximate to maybe what's happening in Sweden. And when they are told that, no, the economy is much more unequal than you think it is, that the average boss now gets about 350 times the salary of the average worker, they are asked, what do you want the level of inequality to be? And what they want is that the level of inequality has to be much, much lower than what it is. And the consequence of that is that if the Democrats start, you know, really want to win elections, they have to go with the majority of the population, and they have to advertise in all the political ads about the fact that we want the population to be more equal economically, and if they don't do it, they have to be removed in the primaries. Mm-hmm. Because we can't go on like this. We can't go on with so many so-called moderate Democrats that are really corporate Democrats.
Yeah. Well, Lawrence, I appreciate you bringing some of this data here and this idea that this has some popular appeal, and maybe primaries need to be the place to hash this out within the Democratic Party. Melissa, do you want to respond to Lawrence's idea here?
Sure. Yeah, that's definitely something that the legislators that I spoke with, they said that there just needs to be a better job about advertising the impact that taxes have on our everyday lives. I spoke with someone in Hawaii who talked with me about their efforts to raise the taxes, and they're working off some of the successes that they had in the past of expanding like their child tax credits, and so they want to use a similar model as they try to raise taxes on the wealthy next year. And so they want to do things like having a stronger campaign, having a very clear message, and also showing that this is where the money is going to go to, because as I talked with Senator Nguyen, and based in Washington State, he felt like having a clear vision on what they were going to use the money for that they raised from revenue from the capital gains tax really helped their argument. Then being able to say, this isn't just going to the general fund, but this is going towards education and towards childcare, that really helped push the needle forward on the movement.
And Maya, anything to add in response to what Lawrence is describing?
Yeah, it's interesting that you bring that up, because I believe when we talked to people in Massachusetts and their wealth tax passed by voters, and they said that they found the most success in using a pure tax justice argument by really saying it was an issue of the richest needing to pay their fair share in order to, you know, have an economy that works for everyone in the state. And they found that that was actually the most successful messaging in that sense. So I think that, you know, there is certainly some like evidence that that strategy may be the way to move forward.
Well, thank you, Lawrence, for that question. And if you're just joining us, this is Ethan Elkind sitting in for Rose Aguilar on Your Calls Media Roundtable. And we're talking about state-level efforts to address income inequality through tax policy, tax the wealthy approaches and proposals. We're joined by Melissa Hellman, award-winning reporter who covers racial, gender, and economic inequality for the Center for Public Integrity, and also Maya Srikrishnan, who is also an investigative journalist at the Center for Public Integrity. And we do want to hear from you as well. If you have thoughts about what should be done at the state level to address economic inequality, you can call us at 866-798-TALK. That's 866-798-8255. So we've talked about some of the state level progress that's been made and a little bit about some of the pushback, but I'm curious to hear more about some of the organizations really fighting against this idea of a wealth tax. Some of the organizations you've named, like we've heard about the American Legislative Exchange Council, or ALEC, they have a lot of influence in this. Can you talk about some of the other think tanks and conservative organizations that are working against this? And Melissa Hellman, I'll start with you on that.
Sure. So we found that there was a trifecta. So there was ALEC, and then there's also there's also the State Policy Network. And then there's one other one that is escaping me. If you could pick up on that, Maya.
Yeah, I can jump in. The third one is Americans for Prosperity. So ALEC is obviously the most well-known of those three groups. And I think it has been around for the longest. And there's been a lot of reporting on their role, particularly their kind of bill mill model. The State Policy Network is it's made up of these conservative, you know, pro-business think tanks, nonprofit think tanks that, you know, produce reports, media commentary, and testimony that often support some of these bills. And you'll find them, I think, in pretty much every state except for one or two. And then Americans for Prosperity is a little bit more of a it's a grassroots type organization. So they do a lot of electoral work and policy lobbying, both at the state and federal level. And they are largely, they were created and directed by the Koch brothers political network. So the State Policy Network and ALEC are, you know, quite close in their relationship and their history. And there's many people who are involved in the State Policy Network who sit on ALEC's committees and things like that. And oftentimes you'll see State Policy Network commentary and research backing up ALEC's model bills. Americans for Prosperity is aligned with them in many ways in terms of certain policies, but also differs a little bit, you know, and they're more of that like libertarian type that the Koch brothers politically tend to gravitate towards. But yeah, a lot of these places, you know, they're funded by some of the wealthiest people in this country and the people who run some of the biggest corporations. And, you know, it's very clear when it comes to things like tax policy that a lot of their policies are driven in a way to protect their wealth that they have accumulated over time.
And Maya, just staying with you, I'm curious about the bigger picture here. We know that similar efforts have been tried on the federal level, but really haven't gone anywhere. And now it seems like the movement is sort of shifting. Let's shift to the state level. What do you see as a sort of the bigger picture here? What would be the long-term trajectory? And are there any analogies in past movements that can be drawn on to see where this type of movement might go?
Yeah, I mean, I think we're seeing more and more, particularly with the Supreme Court that we have today, that a lot of very significant governance decisions that really impact our lives on a daily basis are being thrown to states. And so the state that you live in is really going to determine your experience increasingly. But we certainly have seen lots of examples of policies that started with lots of things happening at the states. Like I think same-sex marriage is one of them, although again, some stuff happening at the Supreme Court recently, but initially some of those things happened at the state level. And I think if there is movement in more of the progressive states to continue to move towards these wealth taxes, that it is something that would eventually gain traction at the federal level. But I think, you know, it's going to be a slow process. As Melissa discussed earlier, you know, there were really only two states that were successful in making these changes. And it was after a lot of effort and a lot of time. And even in very progressive states like California, these bills just are not making it very far. So I don't really know what the timeline is going to look like for these types of things, these types of policies to take hold, even at the state level.
Well, and Melissa, we're just about out of time, but I'm curious to hear from you. We know that polls seem to show a majority of Americans do support the general concept of a tax on the ultra wealthy. So what do you think it will take, just with another minute or so remaining here, to see this type of movement really take hold nationwide?
I think what I mentioned before about having a very clear narrative is really essential. And I think there, as I mentioned before, the State Innovation Exchange and the State Revenue Alliance, they're really pushing to try to bring together states so that they can work together, put their heads together and figure out what they need to do so that they can push for this stronger movement together, because there's not been very many success stories. So they want to work together to see how they can accomplish this.
And Maya, any closing thoughts here in about 30 seconds?
No, I think Melissa covered it. I think we've touched on everything that we think is important.
Well, I greatly appreciate the work that you both are doing to surface what's going on at this movement. And we'll keep an eye on what's happening at the state level, as there's this effort to try to increase taxes on the wealthy to try to reduce economic inequality. We've been joined by Melissa Hellman, award-winning reporter covering racial, gender, and economic inequality for the Center for Public Integrity, and Maya Srikrishnan, who is also an investigative journalist at the Center for Public Integrity. Thank you both so much for joining us on Your Call.
Thanks so much for having us.
And to listen to past shows or sign up for our podcast, visit yourcallradio.org. You can also find us on iTunes, where you can give us a review. And of course, you can follow us on Twitter, now X, at Your Call Radio, and email us show ideas and feedback to yourcall@kalw.org. Malihe Razazan produced today's show. David LaTulipe was our studio engineer. Thanks so much for joining us. I'm Ethan Elkind, sitting in for Rose Aguilar, and it's Your Call.